Did you ever pop down to your basement studio to record your daily comedy news podcast and you find out your dog had diarrhea and you got to clean it up? It's a good thing we don't have Smell-O-Vision on Apple Podcasts. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your Tuesday daily comedy news. Kostaki Economopoulos hosts a podcast called Quick Snaps, which is about the NFL. Kostaki also slings a lot of funny lines on Twitter about football. The Steelers brought their terrible towels. The Broncos brought their terrible defense. Haven't seen this many cowboy turnovers since Brokeback Mountain. The owner of the Washington football team is in quarantine with his wife, which is the most perfect punishment for overseeing a sexist workplace. And Jets is very similar to jorts. Coincidence? Donald Trump says COVID's not too bad if you don't count the blue states. That made the late night host react. Seth Meyers said, sure, if you just take out all the people that died, then you did a great job, dude. By the same token, if you take out all his albums, Kid Rock has had a fantastic career. Seth again, wow, okay, so by that logic, the more blue states we have, the better job you did on this virus. I think we're about to see Fox anchors telling viewers to help the president by voting for Biden. Good news for President Trump, as Florida's been called for Joe Biden, thus putting the blood on his hands. Seth again, this has to be one of the most grotesque things the president has ever said. I'm sure Trump's not our first sociopath president, but he's definitely the first one who's open about it. He's the kid who lights ants on fire for fun, and when you catch him doing it, he says, it's not what you think. Torturing living things gives me joy. More from Seth. By the way, the only way they can get away with this stuff is because we have an ass-backwards electoral college system that lets the Republican vampires write off anyone who doesn't live in like a dozen swing states. If we had a national popular vote, Trump and the GOP would have to campaign in places like Portland or New York City, and I would personally love to see him try to pander to Portlanders by growing a mustache and riding a penny farthing to an artisanal pickle store. Trevor Noah said, did this dude just try to pull the if you eat around the mold, everything's fine move, but with corona deaths? Trevor, I mean, while we're at it, why don't we just not count the red states too? Then the U.S. has zero deaths, which is pretty impressive if you ask me. Trevor, it's pretty astounding that a leader, would even think of his country that way. You can't just write off entire states. My man, this isn't the Electoral College. The popular vote counts. Jimmy Fallon said, so if you don't count the racial tension in the economy, it's been a pretty smooth 6 months, wouldn't you say? Colbert, and I know this isn't going to shock you, Trump's wrong because the states with the most deaths are New York, New Jersey, Texas, California, and Florida, which are, of course, the states with the largest populations in the country. So he's just saying if you don't count states with people, he's done a great job. Forget the presidency. I wouldn't trust Trump to run a middle school field trip. From The Hollywood Reporter, musicians on The Tonight Show, The Late Show, Dancing with the Stars, and more shows are demanding, quote, economic parity with actors, directors, and writers when it comes to streaming residuals, healthcare contributions, and wages. They published an open letter, this from the American Federation of Musicians, and they said, this month, your companies acknowledge that live television musicians are the only sector of the industry exhibiting substantial racial diversity, but at the bargaining table, we're told that our contributions are worth less than those of actors, writers, and directors. You cannot ignore that the other guilds are predominantly white and are compensated at a higher rate with residual payments for stream content, healthcare, and wages. AFM musicians currently do not receive streaming residuals, according to their union, and their next round of contract negotiations will occur this month. Speaking of lawsuits, also from The Hollywood Reporter, after 4 years in court, Harry Shearer and friends have a settlement with this Spinal Tap lawsuit. Friday was announced they have a settlement. Shearer had sued back in 2016 with the allegation that despite decades of cult success, the creative forces behind Spinal Tap had made just $81 in merchandising income, and listen to this, $98 in musical sales income, $98 on Spinal Tap Records. They alleged, quote, Hollywood accounting, unquote, sins, some bungling trademark rights, and more. The four demanded hundreds of millions in damages, plus hope to reclaim Spinal Tap by exercising termination rights under the Copyright Act. So we'll see what shakes out here. Will we get some more Spinal Tap? Who knows? More from The Hollywood Reporter's interview with Lorne Michaels. Is he excited about the upcoming season of SNL? Do I feel excited? I just came out of a production meeting for 2.5 hours. You know, there's still a lot to figure out. We need the audience, obviously. With comedy, when you don't hear the response, it's just different. With the kind of comedy we do, which quite often is broad, timing gets thrown off without an audience. And for me, what's most important is you're absolutely certain of some piece on Wednesday, and then the dress rehearsal audience sees it on Saturday and tells you you're wrong. That discipline of the audience having a voice is really important to the process. You see it play or not play. All discussions up to that point, particularly between me and the specific writer on a piece, when it doesn't play, are settled. So there's no time to go through it in a granular way. It just is. Lose these 2 minutes. Do this. So all the audience is part of it, and those 400 people who are at dress rehearsal have never worked with each other before, so how they're knit together as an audience and whether we're on the right track is much easier to see if you've done it once, and the cast needs them to find a level for the air show because they can go bigger or smaller at dress, but then they can adjust. Lauren says, I made the decision early on that we would do something we hadn't done before, which was 5 shows in a row, because there are 4 debates and then it's Halloween, and that's the weekend before the election. And sadly, if the election gets extended, then we'll be doing 6 or 7 in a row. Fatigue has been part of it, so we're trying to make sure that everyone is safe and protected and looked after. The show will be compromised on some levels of production, but will be recognizable as the show you've seen all these years. Also from The Hollywood Reporter, Jimmy Kimmel talked about doing late night shows during the pandemic. And Jimmy said, I think the shows, all of them, are more personal. They feel less like a joke factory. And I think that's been nice. I know I'll try to take whatever lessons I've learned from doing these shows at home and apply them to the show in studio. I suspect that my colleagues will do the same. It forced us to try some new stuff. And it's not easy to try new stuff in late night. I mean, the template is the template. And when you break it, you tend to fail. People have an expectation that there's going to be a monologue. There are going to be guests. And then there's going to be a band or a comedian. That's just how it is. And usually you have to work with that. But when it changes drastically, you do for better or worse. Learn some lessons. It only took a global pandemic to force some freshness in late night. And from Deadline, hey, if you're the one person with Quibi, good news, you're getting a sequel to Die Hard, this one called Die Harder. And the new series picks up from season 1, where Kevin Hart played a version of himself trying to step out of the role of comedic sidekick by going to the world's greatest action star school. Are you psyched? No, because you don't have Quibi. No one does. And finally, from Stephen Colbert, who tweets, and this is serious, you want to vote? Do you live in a state? Well, The Late Show made a great website just for you. Go to betterknowaballot.com and click on your state's link for all the latest voting info. betterknowaballot.com. Thank you, Stephen Colbert team, for putting that together. That's your comedy news for today. You know where to get the show and all that. See you tomorrow.